I think we, a lot of us, all of us, we live our lives with one of these, with a ladder. And we dedicate our lives to working our way up the ladder. And typically what moves us up, what drives us up, is this pursuit of joy, pursuit of satisfaction, pursuit of fulfillment. And what it drives us is this discontent of where I'm at and wanting something more. I remember when I was in high school, and I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait till I get out of this house and go away to college. And so I take that step, because that's where everything's going to be awesome. And then I get to college, and it is like hard work, all the papers and all that. And I was like, I cannot wait. Man, okay, I thought this was going to be where it's at, but this is not where it's at. When I get done with college, when I graduate, and then like, people will pay me for my time instead of me paying for you taking my time. That is when I can't wait till I get done with college, because that's when I'll experience joy. So I take that step, and I get done with college. I'm like, okay, all right, I graduated. I'm done with college. This is so great. I gotta find a job. Like, I thought I was gonna find joy in this, but there's no joy because now I gotta find work. But once I find a job, the bills will get paid, the money will be coming in, and everything. That's what I've been working up for, and then it'll all be good. So I take the step. And then it's like, okay, I got the job, but life's a little empty. I kind of wish I had a relationship. Maybe what I'm missing is a relationship. If I had a relationship, then I would find joy. Because I thought I'd have joy in the job, but I'm not having joy in the job with the money coming in. So maybe if I have a relationship, then I can experience joy. So I work my way up the ladder, and I'm like, okay, I got a relationship. It's all good, but I really want that commitment. I think it's more than just, I think I need to get married. I think when I get married, then joy will come when I'm married. That's when joy, I got a job, but I still don't have joy. But I feel like it's right at my fingertips. If I just take another step, then I'll get the joy. So I need to get married. Okay, I get married, and like, okay, I'm married, but boy, it's still a lot of work, though, this marriage thing. I thought I'd get married, and then I would have joy. Like, that was a step I needed to take to experience joy. But it's a lot of work, and it's kind of hard. And you know what I need? It would be great if we had the stability in our marriage. I think we need a home. If we bought a house, then we would have stability. And so I'm not going to keep going. You guys get the idea? Because I'm getting a little uncomfortable up on this ladder. It probably doesn't look high from up there, but I'm a little... So I got to buy a house and think, okay, once I own a home, then I'll have joy. But then I'm dealing with a mortgage payment. Like, I don't just need a job, I need a raise. If I get that raise, I get a little more money, then I'll experience joy. And we go that route. And then I think, boy, I have the job, I have the home. Maybe I'm still not experiencing joy. Kids, if I ever had kids, if I have a baby, then I'm going to have joy. You have a baby and you realize, holy cow, that is a whole different thing. And you think, boy, once this baby gets out of diapers, I'm going to have joy. And then once this baby's out of the car seat, once the baby's in school, and then once the baby's out of school, once the baby's out of the house, and so on. And we live our lives walking up this ladder, climbing. You guys heard the phrase, right? Climbing the ladder. We give our lives, dedicate our lives to climbing the ladder. What moves us up each rung is a dissatisfaction from where I'm at. And I think, gosh, if I just take that one, joy is right there. Joy is right on my fingertips. If I could just take one more step up, I'll reach joy. Until we take that step and realize, no, it's not there. Oh, but it's right there. I could almost get joy. And we go after, we dedicate our lives to climbing this ladder. And I think we all do it. And you may think, well, not me, Tom. I didn't do any of those things. We all have different rungs on our ladder, right? We have different steps that we take. Or you might even think, well, I'm not really climbing the ladder. I feel pretty set where I'm at. But I would say, even if you're not climbing the ladder, you think the reason you don't experience joy is because you're not higher on the ladder. Even if we're not climbing, we think the reason I don't have joy is because I'm not at that step. They're at that step. They have that thing. I don't have that thing. If I was at that, if I was married, if I had a baby, if I had all these things, then I would experience joy and I don't have those things. That's why I don't experience joy. That means we're still on the ladder. We're still working our way up the ladder. And we give our lives to climbing this ladder. And I'd like to just pause for a moment in this craziness of the life we live, climbing this ladder, giving ourselves to this pursuit, to propose maybe, just maybe, this is the wrong ladder. Maybe there's a different ladder. I can think of no greater tragedy than giving our entire lives to climbing this ladder, get to the end of your life when you're faced with eternity, you're closing the door on your time here, and you're ready to transition to eternity and realizing, dang it, I was on the wrong ladder the whole time. I gave my life to pursuit of this ladder, and there's a whole different ladder. And I think everybody is doing this. Everybody walking the earth is doing this, climbing a ladder. So I want to propose to you today that there is a different ladder. And that being a believer in Jesus Christ means getting off this ladder and getting on a different ladder. That there is a change that happens in our values, in our purpose, in our pursuit of joy. We're still pursuing joy, but it's a different pursuit through a different means. Rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, "Great teacher, how can I inherit eternal life? How can I inherit the kingdom?" Jesus says, "Sell all your possessions, give them to the poor." This was a rich guy. Pretty much he said, get off your ladder. You gave your life to climbing that ladder, get off of it, and go up a different ladder. And he went away sad because he had spent so much time climbing that ladder, it was hard to get off of it. And his disciples said, boy, how if the rich can't enter the kingdom, who can? And if this rich guy couldn't, and Jesus responds, oh, it's so difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because the rich are so far on that ladder. They're at the top of the ladder, and it's hard when you're that committed to the ladder to get off the ladder. That's why Jesus says, right after that, he talks about, he says, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. What are little children? Little children are at the base of the ladder, right? They haven't really started up the ladder. And so he says, to enter the kingdom of God means getting off the ladder and going up a different ladder. There's a change that needs to happen. And I think for a lot of us, maybe we think we've come to Christ and we're believers, but I think for a lot of us, the reason we come to Christ is we're hoping he's going to help us up our own ladder. Like, I've been working my way up the ladder, I'm kind of stuck, and I can't reach the next rung, but Jesus can help me up to the next step. But Jesus is not just a means to get further up the same ladder we were climbing. Instead, he's an entirely different ladder. And we're going to see this today from Paul's writing to the Church of Philippi. We've been going through Philippians together, and we've been studying Philippians, going through this series entitled Unshakable Joy. Because we see in Philippians that Paul, here he is locked in prison, he's got everything taken away from him, he's got all, his ladder is destroyed and gone, he's got all the things that we think are valuable and sources of joy, they've all been stripped from his life, and yet in this letter he writes over and over about the joy he's experiencing, about this joy that he has. And so we're looking at this joy and say, this is revolutionary joy. This is like crazy, out-of-the-box sort of joy. And so we want that joy in our own lives, right? A joy that's greater than our circumstances, greater than these things that we face. So we've been looking together at the letter of Philippians, where Paul has been writing about joy. And so today's portion of the letter is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. So you can open up in your Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 21. And that's what we're going to be studying today. And there's paperback Bibles there. If you don't have one, you could just take one of those. It could be yours. The gray ones. I think they say Holy Bible on the front or something. So there's a tree. There's a tree on it. All right, so Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. The context of what he was just talking about, Terry preached on it last Sunday. He just got done talking about the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. We just saying Christ is enough for me. We just sing that song. That's what he just got done saying. That Christ is everything. That he says, I consider everything else. He says, I consider all the achievements, the honors, all the glory for man, all the promotions, all the prideful things. He says, I consider everything else loss. They're worthless. I consider everything else loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. He says, there's only one thing that matters, one thing of value, knowing Christ. The only thing that's worth anything is knowing Christ. And so he surmised that that's the only thing of value. And so he says, I'm giving my life to that thing. My life is about one thing, growing in my knowledge and experiencing of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm about. That's what life is. That's the new ladder, all right, is knowing Christ and growing in our knowledge of him. He says, I'm giving myself to that. I'm getting off my old ladder. I got on a new ladder, and we see him experiencing joy in the midst of all these crazy circumstances. Okay, so that's what he just said. He was just talking about he's given himself to the only thing of value in it that he recognizes is the worth of knowing Christ. Okay, so now we pick it up at verse 12. Verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. This is what it says. Not that I have already obtained all this, about knowing Christ, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He says, I'm working my way up this ladder. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, forgetting the old ladder, and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as often told you before, and now I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. All right. So here we see Paul reveals he's got a new purpose. He has a new identity. He's about a new way of life. He says, people that you see around you that are walking this earth, that are in the city of Philippi, and they're hanging out on the streets and doing their thing, he says, their minds are on earthly things. But he says, you, as believers of Jesus Christ, he says, you have a new identity in heaven. And so that's our central truth today. This is our main point that we have to understand, that this is going to be a mental process today. This is our main thing, that central truth that I want us to get today. To experience true joy, as Paul's been talking about this true joy, to experience true joy, the believer must embrace their new identity. Embrace your new identity. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. He says, they're walking around with their mind on earthly things, but us, believers in Jesus Christ, those who have been redeemed by him, your citizenship is not here. Your citizenship is in heaven. You have a new identity. Now, you got to understand, the words he just said, these words are controversial words. They get you thrown into prison. They get you executed. You don't just talk like this in that day and age, because they're living in the Roman Empire, all right? So this is under Emperor Nero. He's the boss, he's in charge, and he likes being in charge. He likes being in charge so much, we've talked about this before, as we talked about the context, that he named himself Lord and Savior. And whenever he talked about Nero, you had to refer to him as Lord and Savior. And that's a big deal. And as citizens in the Roman Empire, that's just part of it. Nero's the boss, and you have to refer to him as your Lord and Savior. And so look what Paul says. Now, with that context, and if you don't, you're in big trouble, all right? So look at the context, understanding that in verse 20, it says, but our citizenship, compared to the Roman citizenship, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! He's got some backbone. And he's being really purposeful when he says, this is not our place. This is not, we're citizens of a different place. And we have our own Savior. We have our own Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. And he says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, everything, everybody, everything's coming under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So this was real controversial to say something like this. You don't just do this. So when he did it, he knew what he was doing, and everybody reading it was like, wait, what? He just did Nero how? Oh, boy. So this was a big deal that he says that. Because in that society, you had to believe that. You had to act that way, and there was consequences if you didn't. Our society is a little bit like that. Not to that degree. You can believe in all that Jesus stuff as long as you keep it in its place. As long as our values come before those values. You can fit those in values. That's fine if you want to have those Christian values, but they got to come below our cultural values. You can believe whatever you want. That's fine as long as it doesn't have any judgment on anybody, right? You can believe whatever you want as long as it doesn't impose on anyone's freedom, because that's our number one thing. We want everybody free to do whatever.
it's okay to believe stuff, but as long as it comes after, it's just, as long as it stays in its place, you know what I mean, that Christianity thing, as long as you keep it in this box, it's fine. But we're not citizens of here. We're citizens of heaven, which is key here. We have a new identity. And acceptance of that identity, acceptance of our new ladder, our new way of life, is critical in living this life for Christ. That's a critical aspect of this. In 1 Peter, it says, live as aliens here, as strangers here. Like you're just visiting. Like, everybody else is from here. You're not from here. Because you got a home somewhere else. It says, this is not our home, Bible tells us. This is not our home. That the Father is preparing a home for us. All right? And that is home for us. This is not home. That once you were not a people, but now you are a people. That you have a new association. It's a people of God. And we're just visiting here in our time on earth. Our identity is not as citizens here on earth, but our identity is citizens in heaven. There's a new identity, and that should affect everything we do and how we interact and who we are and what we value on the ladder that we climb. And I want to point out this identity is an identity that's given to us. It's not something that we do. This identity isn't based on your actions, on your works, on what you do. It's based on who you are. So I don't want this series or even this morning to come across. If you want to be joyful, then here's the steps you take. If you do A, B, and C, then you'll experience joy. Because this isn't about doing these things to grab at some joy. This is about becoming joyful. I mean, what if it wasn't about what you do to experience joy? What if you could just be joyful? Right? So you see the difference here. This is an identity thing. In verse 16, he says in here, only let us live up to what we have already attained. He says, do you even know who you are? You are citizens in heaven. Why are you living like citizens here? Get off that ladder. What are you doing? Don't you know that that's not our ladder? We have a different ladder. You're not citizens here. Stop living like we're citizens there. Let's live up to what we've already attained. All right. So this isn't about doing something to grab at some joy. This is about being joyful. So with that, he's talking to citizens of heaven, those who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. If you're in the room today and you haven't done that yet, and you're checking out church, I'm so glad you're here. But the one thing I just want to point out, don't take this as, okay, I wish I could say, all you got to do is A, B, and C, then you can have a little joy. You know what you need to do? You need to submit your life to Jesus Christ. That's what you got to do to experience it, right? And it's a simple process. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Yeah. So it's just confessing Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my boss, and believing that God raised him from the dead, so he's my Savior, so he's going to save me from my sins. He's the reason I can go to him, not because I'm good enough, but because he's forgiven me. He's my Savior, and also he's my Lord. He's the boss. He's not just an advisor. He's not just someone who every once in a while I listen in, or on Sundays I'll give him a little bit of my time. No, he's the boss. All right, so he's my Lord and Savior. And with that comes citizenship in heaven. So that's the step. I mean, that's it. But understanding that reality, that this is who we are, now we got to live like it. So he says, live up to what we've already obtained. Live for a different purpose. Climb a different ladder. The old way to live, he says, in verse 18, for I have often told you before, and I'll tell you again with many tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Know what drives us up this ladder, the old ladder? Is our striving after pride, striving after glory. What drives us up this ladder is our stomachs. And what it means by stomachs, the real word was appetites. So it's our path, it's that thing that you want right now. So it's not just about food. You know what I'm talking about? When your body cries out for something, and you just follow those cries, because whatever the appetite says, and I'm not just talking food, I'm talking about all of it, whatever the appetite says, we just follow. And it drives up this ladder, this pursuit of joy, this pursuit of pride and all these things. Those are means to get up that ladder. Because that was the old way, but you have a new way. New way, live for a new purpose. And what's that new purpose? It's knowing Christ. Knowing Christ is the new ladder. He says, I live my life for a whole other thing, to grow in the knowledge, grow in the experience, grow in the presence of God. And as I do that, he says, I'm experiencing joy. Yeah, I'm in prison. Who cares, man? I know Christ more today than I did yesterday. Woo, and he's happy. Right? He's experiencing joy. Yeah, I've got all my possessions were taken away from me. Who cares, man? I'm in the presence of God right here. This is happening. I'm growing in my knowledge of him, and he's experiencing joy. So for us, as citizens of heaven, to experience true joy, we need to embrace our new identity. Embrace it. So what's the embrace look like? Here's some steps, but this isn't a do ABC. There's just some advice in the embracing, understanding who we are. First thing is this, and these are some fill in the blanks. First is this, live the process. Live the process. That understanding this, the knowledge of Christ, growing in the knowledge of Christ, is a process. And it's not an immediate thing. It's not like a light switch. It's a dimmer switch. You know what I'm talking about? So, he makes this very clear. Paul is a very advanced guy. He's experiencing joy. You may think like Paul's graduated. He's got it. He's got it all figured out. We would say, yeah, he's ahead of all us on the ladder. He's further up the ladder than we are on the other ladder, the Christian ladder. And but look what he says about it in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this. I don't have it yet. He says, or I've already arrived at my goal. I'm not at the goal yet. It's a process. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. This is something that God is doing. It's a work in progress. It's something that we're that God's working out in us. And so the key is understanding that process, taking part in the process, is understanding that this is that ladder. It's working our way up the ladder, but understand it's a process getting up the ladder. That knowing Christ isn't like an immediate, hey, I get it, and I've got it all figured out. No, it's a process, and we got to be okay with that. And the reason I say that, it's easy to get discouraged in the hard parts. That sometimes we're in the process, and our old sin comes out. We behave like how we were before. We discourage because things get hard. Hey, it's okay. It's a process, right? It's going to take time. And we got to understand that, but with that, be willing to take part in the process. Look how intentional Paul is as he's talking about this process. I don't already have it. I haven't taken hold of it yet. But think of look at all this participation, intentionality he has. He says, "I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me." He's talking about working hard. I mean, talk about a great life verse. I mean, that is an amazing verse, I think. I don't do bumper stickers, but if I ever did, this is a good one. I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. I mean, think of what's in that verse. I mean, the complexity. I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. That Christ takes hold of us, the salvation process, but also the sanctification process of I have a part in this too. I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. It's just so cool. You can spend a lifetime in that verse. But you get what I'm saying, though, about he's working at it. He's got a singular focus. I'm doing this thing. I press on to do this. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. He's putting all his effort into climbing this ladder with the ladder building up to the height of knowing Christ, on this path of knowing Christ. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. So he's investing, he's committing himself to this process of knowing Christ. And I think this is important because often we think in the Christian faith, we kind of want to, and there's something about resting in Christ, and I get that, and that's something I've been experiencing and practicing. But here's what I found, resting in Christ is really hard work. Like it takes intentionality, it takes focus, it takes discipline to rest in Christ. And so don't just think, I come to Christ and I don't got to do anything. Yeah, well, it's kind of true, but it takes hard work to do that nothing in front of Christ, right? That it means getting off our ladder, and that's hard getting off our ladder, and it means getting on the other ladder and working our way up the ladder. And so there's intentionality there. It takes discipline to give our lives, dedicate our lives to the work of knowing Christ, to grow in our knowledge of him. So as he's reading, as he's talking here, he's talking like kind of like an Olympic athlete, right? You know how Olympic athletes, they got one thing that they do. Right? Like I throw this disc. That's all. That's my one purpose in life, and I throw this disc or whatever that thing is. I shoot this bow or I ski down that hill, whatever thing I do. And I've always been kind of jealous of Olympic athletes because, like, man, that life is so simple. You just got one thing. You get up in the morning to work on throwing that disc until you go to bed. And then the next morning you get up and you do it again. You got one focus in life. You throw the disc. And I thought, gosh, that'd be so great. Just be focused on one thing and get so good at that one thing that you're better than everyone else in the world at it, and you just have that one thing. I've always been a little jealous of Olympic athletes because they get to do that. That's just what they do, is that one thing. But that's how he's describing the Christian faith. He says, I'm about one thing, and it's everything I'm about. I strive, I work to attain that goal. I got one goal, I got one prize I'm after, and it's knowing Christ. And I started thinking, man, this is all of us. That's how we're supposed to live, with one goal. And we try to fit in that goal in the midst of our real goal of climbing this old ladder. And he said, no, no, no. You don't have to climb the ladder. Don't you get it? That's an old ladder. You don't have to climb that anymore. You have a new ladder, a new way. So instead of, this is number one job, climb the old ladder. And then whenever I can fit in a little of trying to know Christ. But so hard because I got to climb the ladder. That's the thing. You don't. We're not citizens here anymore. We're citizens in heaven. So verse 15, then he continues on. We're just kind of working through this. So in verse 15, he continues on talking about, so he's talking about this process. He's been working out, doing his part, and climbing up this new ladder. Verse 15, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. All right, so that if we're mature, that's what we should be thinking. That's how we should view life. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. So that's our second thing here, the embrace. So the first one is to live out the process. Number two, ask God to reveal what you believe. Ask God to reveal what you believe. You may think, no, I get it, Tom. You know, I get it. We're supposed to check out of that life, die to self, you know, and do this new ladder, go live for a new purpose. I get that. I understand that. I get that we have a new identity. And I would say, and here's how I would respond. Do you? I mean, I get that you say you do, but do you? I mean, looking at how you live your life, do you really believe this? That you don't have to climb that old ladder anymore. You have a new ladder. Isn't it interesting what Paul says in verse 15? And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. That a lot of us, we don't even know, don't realize that we think differently. We think we got this figured out, but we don't realize that, no, we don't got this figured out. We're thinking differently. And it's asking God to reveal what you actually believe. You know, everybody's house has kind of a little smell to it. And here's the thing. Your house does too. Yeah. But you don't smell your house. Because you're used to it. I think our lives are kind of like that. You can see the problems in others. But our own beliefs, our own things, we don't really see it. Because we're so used to it. And so he says, if you think differently, ask God to show you. God will make it clear to you what you believe. And so a lot of us need a good, honest assessment of what we really believe. Not just what we would answer on a test, but what we actually believe. And that's shown in our actions. But we're too biased to look at it ourselves. So I challenge you to go to God and ask him to show you what you really believe. And he might. In an easy way or a hard way. But it's asking God to show us that. Okay, so then he continues on. So that was verse 16. Verse 17 and 18. This is where he continues on. Verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and I'll tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. So that's our third thing here, is to be careful who you emulate. Be careful who you emulate. Be careful who you model your life after. Be careful who you aspire after. Careful who you look at and say, dang, they got this figured out. I so wish I was where they're at. I wish I was doing what they were doing. They got this figured out. Be careful who that is in your life. Who do you look at and say, man, they got it good. Woo! Kobe Bryant, are you kidding me? All that money, all that fame, used to be good at basketball. I'm sorry, like, I couldn't help it. But, man, Kobe's got it. He's got so much. Oh, man, I wish Kobe had. Jay-Z, he's got all, he's so, oh, man, the creative juices in him and all the money and all the different, not just, it's not even just music, it's all these different fields. He everything he touches turns to gold. Jay-Z, man, if I had it like Jay-Z, I'd be set. Oprah, oh, my gosh, if I could just even be on the show and just get one of those things, I'd be enough. But Oprah's got so much to give and, oh, man, Oprah this, and if I could just be, okay. Why do we aspire after them so much? Because they're all the way at the top of this old ladder. Look at how far up the ladder they have it. Man, if I could be that far up the ladder, I would have it made. You know what? They're so far up on the ladder. Know what they see ahead of them? Another rung. If I could go up this another step, then I'll be a joy until they get up that step, and then they're going to another rung. Here's the secret. There's no end of the ladder. There's no joy on this ladder. And we got to be careful who we emulate and model our lives after and say, oh, I want to be that. Because we got a question. Why do we want to be like them? They're just on the old ladder. So he says, don't model your life after them. Instead, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. He says, don't fill your lives. Don't spend all your time hanging out with people on the old ladder, trying to be like them, trying to gain their approval, trying to do all that. He says, don't give your life to that. Don't fill your life with that. Instead, let your example be those who are on the right ladder, who are doing this. Let them be the people you aspire after, those that you see who live by faith. Here's how you can tell who to model after. Who's got joy when they really got no business having joy? That's who you should model your life after. Right? Amen. That's some evidence. So who's filling your life? Who do you want to spend time with? Who do you aspire after? Who do you want to emulate? That's important. We'd be careful over that. Because as we live in a citizenship of earth, not to get roped into that and live like the citizens of earth. Because remember, we have a new identity, citizenship in heaven. All right, we got to keep moving here. Okay. Then fourth thing is this. The final one is this. Beware the draw of your old identity. Beware the draw of your old identity. Verse 19, talking about the people that have lived, they're living in the citizenship of earth, the citizenship of the world. It says their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. And this is a good reminder, says beware them. Beware them. Because that stuff's going to call out to you. Your earthly appetites are still going to call out to you. Okay? Your desire for glory is still going to call out to you. You're going to, all these things of the world, things of the earth, they're going to call out to you. Don't fall for that stuff. And he says, I've told you over and over. I'm telling you with tears. He's telling them out of love for them. He loves the Church of Philippi. He loves these people. He's telling them, his tears in his eyes, says, don't fall for that stuff. Don't give your life to that ladder. It's so empty. Don't do that. He says, I care about you. Don't fall for that. That ladder, he says, the people climbing that ladder, they're enemies of the cross. They're enemies of the cross. Don't try to be like them. We have a new citizenship. The cross is a symbol for sacrifice, for serving others, putting others above ourselves, about dying to self. And yet the old ladder is all about increasing self and raising self up. So he said, don't do that. That's an enemy of the cross. Instead, we have a new ladder, a new identity. And notice all the focus that Paul puts on the thought process involved. This message, this part of the letter, is all about up here. It's all about what's in the head. It wasn't about what's in the hands and the feet. It's all about what's in the head. Because like in verse 19, He says about the problem, the people that aren't getting this right, the enemies of Christ, the old way, says their mind is set on earthly things. He says their mind is set on it. Verse 15, talking about the new way, says about this new identity. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. Talking about our thoughts, what we think about, where our mind is on this stuff. So he's saying we have a new identity. Don't fall for that old way. It's going to try to call you back. But keep your mind on your new identity. We've got to remember that. We've got to live up to what we've already attained. We've got to remember that who we are. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so we're going to end today by taking communion. And the reason we're going to do that is Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Call to mind what I did for you. Put your thoughts, not on the things of this world, but take this. We're going to pull our thoughts off of the old ladder, and we're going to put our thoughts on Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And this is an act of worship to call to mind, to remember what Christ did for us. And so in a moment, you're going to come forward, and we got crackers representing his body broken for you. We've got little cups of juice representing his blood shed for you. And we're going to take, and we're going to eat, and we're going to remember. We're going to set our mind on the things that Christ did for us, that we have a new citizenship. And this is your final, your closing thought. We have this new citizenship, this new identity, and this new identity is not based on what you do, but on what Christ did for you. So we're going to remember what Christ did for us. We're going to take the time to remember that this morning, set our mind on that, to remind ourselves of our new citizenship, our new identity, and so we can live that out about who we are in Christ, that truth of what we've already attained. When Christ got up on the cross, he said, it's finished. When it was all done, he said, it's finished. He did the work, and now we just live in response to it. Live up to what we've already obtained. So in a moment, I'll invite the worship team up forward now. They're going to come forward, and they're going to play a song of worship. And then I'm going to ask, you can come forward as you feel led and take the cracker representing his body broken for you, the cup representing his blood shed for you. You can take it on your own in a peripheral attitude of remembrance. You can take that on your own. And then, but I ask that you don't leave because we're going to close the service together. So you can take that on your own. And I do ask this too, that if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're not there yet, you're checking this stuff out. Again, I'm so glad you're here today. And I hope this is a setting that you feel comfortable in asking questions and pursuing Christ. But if you're not there yet, just ask that you sit this one out. Because the Bible is really clear that this act, taking communion, is only for believers. And that it says if we do it, not as believer of Christ, we bring judgment on ourselves. So I don't want you guys to do that as your pastor. I love you enough to tell you the honest truth. Don't do that. God don't play on communion. So if you're not there, just skip out on communion today, and that's okay. So with that, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll invite you to come forward and take communion. Let's pray. God, thank you for our new identity. Thank you for the people you made us to be. Thank you that you call us your own. God, help us to remember that. You would keep them on the forefront of our minds. And don't help us not to fall for the lies of the world, that if we just take that one more step deeper into the ways of the world, we'll experience joy. God, I thank you for the joy you make available in you. God, help all of us grow in our knowledge and experience of you. And I pray that would start right now as we take this communion, remembering what you did for us on the cross, the forgiveness that you bring, the new life that you've brought us, and again, our new identity as your people. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.